Yeah, I was working election night at WGN-TV, and Jennifer Lyons, she's the news director there, she called out for Lou Malnati's Chicago-style deep-dish pizza, and boy, was that good. The whole staff got to eat nicely that night. They got this, I guess it's like a cornbread kind of crust. It was so crazy good. And I'm envious of Alan in Elk Grove Village because he's the winner of the latest $25 gift certificate for a Lou Malnati's pizza. Good for you, Alan. He got Morley Safer's birthday today. Morley Safer, 83 years old and still working. Mary Hart was the other one from E.T., born in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Mary Hart from Entertainment Tonight, she is 64 today. Is that possible? She was the host, I think, up until just a few years ago. She began in the early 80s. So we got one more to do this half hour to win our last prize. Another birthday wish to say to the singer Ricky Lee Jones. She was born in Chicago, by the way. Or wish it to Leif Garrett. I guess he was a singer. He also had a TV show. So we'll do that. I'll tell you when we'll do it. In about 8 or 9 minutes. So go ahead. Get ready to wish happy birthday to Leif Garrett or Ricky Lee Jones. I was just playing Bud Powell there coming into the segment. He's a great pianist. And it's appropriate for this segment because he is a piano player. And now I have a piano in my home. I worship it. I take great care of it. I have a humidifier in there. I have insurance on it. I have it tuned every 6 months. I play it regularly. I always feel better when I play my piano. And I love my Steinway Model K. Very heavy beast. But I've had a piano in the house since I was a kid, and I love pianos. I love their sort of prodigious orchestral rich sound. But you know, having a piano, that puts me in a minority. In an age not too many generations ago, before there was radio, before there were movies, a century ago, families had to entertain themselves, and most homes had a piano. It was the gathering spot for music and song, family fun, family memories. But outside of China these days, piano sales have been dropping. That's been going on for decades. Why would anybody start a piano store? Why would anybody put their family fortunes and future and open up a piano shop? Are you just crazy in love with pianos and can't help yourself? Or perhaps you just have kind of an unconventional idea of how to get people to pay many thousands of dollars to have delivered to their home a very large, heavy piece of furniture. This is our weekly entrepreneur segment. It's sponsored by Wintrust Financial. Thomas and Darcy Zoles, they opened a piano sales room in Chicago some years ago, Piano Forte Studio. How large was the piano industry, Thomas and Darcy, in its prime? I mean, you had piano movers, that was especially a piano tuners. You had a manufacturing industry that was huge.
It was huge. There were around 200 piano manufacturers in the Midwest alone.
Isn't that amazing?
Crazy.
It's incredible.
And if you look at the corner of Wabash and Jackson, there were three factories on that corner, Kimball, Stark, and Cable. Kimball, at the height of its piano making, I think it was around 1919, they made 37,000 pianos in that factory at Wabash and Jackson.
Isn't that
it's
astounding?
Unbelievable.
Now, is Kimball still around? That's a name that I'm
gone,
familiar with. That's gone.
Gone
too.
There's a building actually on Wabash. If you go in, it has the it still says Wurlitzer pianos in the lobby. Like there's a glass.
The piano thing in my home when I was a kid was called a Krakauer. Have you ever heard of that one?
Of course. Actually, we had a lady in the showroom this morning in the market for a piano, and she said she's a descendant of the Krakauer family.
Good grief!
Isn't that funny?
That's astounding. What do you know about the Krakauer company?
Not much.
Where was it?
They were one of the factories. I think they were in Chicago, actually, or in the Midwest for sure. They made big uprights, and then when the fashion was for spinets, they made spinets, and then they went out of business in the 60s, probably.
Was it, as I implied, because of entertainment and how that changed over the generations?
Partially, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
There's that. There's education.
How about shortest tension spans?
Today, I mean, that's definitely, I think, something that's coming into play today. And one of the reasons why we promote pianos, because it helps you extend your attention span.
Yeah, yeah, you know? It's like a muscle you have to exercise.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how about the fact that also you could have an entire orchestra in your keyboard now? There used to be, you walk down on the 7th floor of this building, the WGN studios up there. We're down on the ground floor in the Allstate Showcase studio. There was a WGN orchestra. Hotels had their own orchestras.
Yeah.
Each orchestra had a piano player or two or three.
That's right.
And so, you know, studio, sidemen, all of that is a disappearing institution.
Yes. But compensating for that, there's a whole new side of pianos that involves technology. I don't know who started it, but certainly Yamaha with the Clavinova line was a big contributor to that.
Yeah, the modern version of the piano, player piano,
exactly.
But it's a digital electronic piano.
Exactly, where you can effectively play all the sounds of an orchestra.
But that's cheating again. That's the short attention span again. That's the shortcut that people are willing to take instead of developing the long-term discipline. I was talking to Lou Manfredini about pianos. There was a store in Chicago, started with a B, that was here forever, in Skokie, I think. But he said it was a father-son business. The father and son didn't just sell the pianos. They sold them to all the schools. They delivered the pianos by themselves. And he said it was something that was absolutely a very common kind of business to have at one time,
yes.
Not all that many years ago.
Yes. And you know, the way the industry developed in the Midwest is that waves of immigrants came from Europe. They came with piano manufacturing in their blood. And if they had worked for a factory in Europe, they came here and
skill.
Yeah.
I'm a real European immigrant. I came here, I liked the place, and I basically started from nothing. And so these people, they knew how to put a piano together, so they started a factory like Krakauer.
Do you know the 630 area code, a text here, he says, how about the piano factory out here in St. Charles, which closed a couple of decades ago? Would you happen to know what that one was?
Yeah, that's Wurlitzer.
That was Wurlitzer.
It was a huge factory. The building is still standing. It's being repurposed. It's been empty for decades, but it's being repurposed gradually. I'm not sure exactly what for. But you can still see it. You can visit it from the outside, at least.
Can I just make a? I always feel like when technology is kind of. I mean, I love an acoustic piano. I love the sound of an acoustic piano. But I do think that technology has its place in that it's made it possible for a lot of people who couldn't get that entry-level piano. They're able to get something digital and start their music. Start, you know, producing music.
I'm sensing you sell these pianos too.
We do, but I do think that there is a place for it, and I think that we really what we're about is really getting people to exercise that creative muscle, and that is really what we want. We want people to, because whether you become a professional pianist or not, expressing yourself in some way, and if music is that way, the piano is a great way to express.
Here's
yourself.
Here's what Lou Manfredini, who was on the station a few hours ago, he said that playing the piano, and I know this is true, is one of the most sexy things a guy can do.
Absolutely.
He said that Billy Joel, he married Cindy Crawford, but there was some other beautiful model that he was dating as well. Oh, Christy Brinkley, not Cindy Crawford. But he had played the piano and they just fell in love with the guy.
Oh, I totally agree with that, of course.
From first person experience.
But you know, there's a great resurgence right now in female pianists like Fiona Apple, Regina Spektor. I mean, there's a lot of singer-songwriter pianists out there. Fantastic.
Alicia Keys. That voice came from the 7th floor, by the way.
Thank you.
Don't be frightened.
Thank you. I was drawing blanks for a minute, but...
And another kid who grew up with a Wurlitzer upright in his house.
And did you play it, or did you watch it collect dust?
Yes. I went to music school.
Fantastic. Dave Jennings, we should do a little...
I play classical. I haven't touched a piano in a couple of decades, but yeah.
Well, great. You and I should do a little blues or something to have a little piano competition.
Actually, you know what would be fun? Fooling around on a concert grand.
I used to do that at a radio station I worked at in Los Angeles. There was a Bosendorfer full-size concert grand, and the guard let me... told me the combination, and so I get off work at midnight and I play a Bosendorfer for an hour.
Well, you could just walk down the street, you know, on Michigan Avenue.
To your place.
To our place,
we have a 10-foot concert grand.
Yeah. You love the Fazioli?
Fazioli.
Fazioli.
Fazioli, yes.
Now, you actually have a passion for pianos, don't you?
I do.
You're just a compulsive, obsessive... piano you fan.
Could say that. Yes.
I can concur with that.
What is it about pianos that you find so appealing?
Well, I mean, it really starts with music. I think, you know, we can talk all day long and we can wax poetic about things, but in the end, you can express things with music that there are.
And with the piano,
no,
it's the
way.
Only instrument where it is orchestral.
Yes, the piano is very unique in that you can play it whether you play it well or not. You can still make music very simply. You can play it all by yourself. You can play...
Or with a small group.
Yes.
Or with a big group.
You can, you know, you can learn it by yourself or with a teacher.
Yeah, I mean, and there are two tracks. You can do the highly disciplined classical music or my way of faking it in a way and learn how to voice chords and enjoy yourself playing jazz and I guess if you wanted to, pop tunes.
The other thing with the piano, too, for children is it's a great way for them to develop their ear. And if they don't have an ear in the beginning, for example, on a violin, if you don't have an ear, it's very hard to stay in tune. With a piano, the child can just play the piano and develop that ear by playing the piano. They don't have to have it to begin with.
Let's talk more in just a second here. I want to pause for a moment and to tell anybody who's listening that it's a contest. So give us a ring. This will be good for $25, redeemable at one of the six Paisano Pizza and Pasta restaurants in Chicagoland. You know, that's a place Oprah loves. So 312-591-7000, that's our contest number. Dan Long, when he stops answering other calls, we'll start with the third caller here. Only call, though, if you know the secret message. I'm Bill Mahler on 720 WGN. So we're talking with the, I keep saying the word, as you said, Rolls-Royce, Zolls, Darcy and Thomas. Now, there's a director at WGN-TV. His name is Eric Johnson. He read my show notice this week, which I send out, which, by the way, you can get if you send me your email address. Send it to Bill Mahler, or rather, B. Mahler at WGNradio.com. And I'll put you on the list. But anyway, he said that WGN Radio, and I didn't know this, we once would send out by mail piano lessons to listeners who wrote in. He has this old tattered... Dan, are you on the phone? Oh. I want him to... Sorry, did you able to get that thing on the website, the picture of the piano lessons? Did you get it?
It will be up with the podcast.
Okay. All right, so he got it up there. You can take a look... when the podcast goes up, probably in the next 24 hours or so. And you'll see an old tattered piano lesson, WGN piano lesson, that his aunt got in the mail. And I didn't realize that this station had sort of a cooperation with helping kids develop an interest in piano.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I think that's outstanding.
That's great.
Tell me about the Pianoforte Foundation.
It's a nonprofit organization that we created at the same time as we opened the piano store because... you know, what we have is not just a passion, but also a mission, which is to get people interested in the piano, promote piano culture. And so just from an organizational standpoint, the best way to do it is to have a for-profit arm and to have a nonprofit arm. The foundation focuses on outreach, getting school kids involved.
Spreading the gospel of the piano.
Education.
Darcy, are there a lot of misunderstandings, misapprehensions about a piano and playing a piano?
In what way do you mean?
Well, it's hard. It's too expensive. I don't want 20 years of piano lessons before I get anywhere to a decent level.
I think in general, with music, you know, it takes a while for you to develop the ability to play a song. And so kids have to have that. They have to get to that point. And sometimes I think that's pretty hard to get kids to the point where they're having fun with the instrument.
Yeah, and not, I mean, there's a right way to teach. My son, one of my sons had a Russian woman. She was terrific, except she was sort of the knuckle rattling type. And it was, I mean, that's how they teach in Russia.
Well, you know,
the other thing is parents tend to give up on their children far too easily.
Yeah, if the kid resists, they go, oh God,
why am I wasting money on this? They'll buy a digital piano, and then the kid...
Or a cheesy keyboard.
Yeah, and the kid is not persistent enough. Well, the parents will just give up on the whole idea instead of investing.
Yeah, even for us, you know, in the music business and everything, our children would have... Their practice schedules would kind of wane. You know, they'd start to stop practicing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I'm just trying to... We're running nearly the end here.
And
Deanie, I wanted to get you in. You had a question about pianos. Go ahead.
Hi, the question is, my grandpas, both of them, one on a farm, the other one was a janitor of a school. They both had player pianos when I was a little girl. Now, I wondered how they could afford them because they were both dirt poor. And yet I'd go up there and play that, put that rolls in there and play When the Red, Red Robin Comes Bob, Bob, Bobbing Along. And I'd pump that thing and I'd pretend I was playing. And I just wondered, how did those people afford those pianos?
Well, there was a time when the key manufacturing product in the piano industry was the role-playing player piano. And I'm guessing so many were made, but then demand came down and they probably were able to buy them used at a pretty good price. Yeah.
Well, also, they might not have been spending money on a big screen TV and a computer and these other things, so that was entertainment.
More disposable,
you know?
Income.
Yeah, now, you towards that. Yeah.
Dan Binder, he's a general manager at WDCB, the FM jazz station, a good friend of mine, and through a cooperation with that station, also WMFT, the classical station in Chicago, you actually have performances inside your pianoforte studios. You just had Orbert Davis this past Wednesday, and coming up, you've got Tammy McCann, who will be performing with a pianist, and that's one of the ways you make it work.
Absolutely, and as we are on the air, broadcasting is very important for music in general, to spread the word to people who wouldn't come to a concert otherwise.
Yeah. And we've recently just completed a beautiful recital hall where we stream from.
Great acoustics.
And it's fantastic. So.
Pianoforte address?
1335 South Michigan Avenue.
Website?
Pianofortechicago.com and PianofortePhoundation.org.
Thank you both.
Thank you so much. This is wonderful.